Alrighty, it is 8:07 AM. You're listening to RDU Breakfast with me, Ben. I'm chatting with none other than Dr. Elizabeth Kitty Kitty, Green MP. Good morning.
Gilda, lovely to be with you.
Thank you so much for coming onto the show. I'm honestly so, so excited. So yes, thank you so much. So first thing is the fact that, yes, you are a new guest. So as I love to ask a new guest, three things, whether it's big or small, from this last week, just to, I guess, introduce you to the people. So yes, things that have perhaps impacted you this week or work from this last week you're most proud of.
Okay, well, the first thing is that we have completed the hearings for the Births, Deaths and Marriages and Relationships Registration Act, which allows trans, non-binary and intersex people to change their self-ID on their birth certificate. So we're having our select committee this morning to go through all the findings from all of the submissions. So it's been a massive piece of work, and we're getting to the nitty-gritty point now of actually rewriting the bill.
Wow, that is amazing.
One.
Yes.
Yeah.
A strong number
very
one.
Exciting. Okay, number two, finally, even though I've been down to work in the last block, I just started travelling again since the first time since lockdown, and I've adopted the Deep South as my second electorate, so I go down regularly to Dunedin and where I grew up and Invercargill. Because I think, you know, the Deep South often gets forgotten with the focus on the North Island and the big cities. And then one of the things that's impacted really strongly on me is having really conversations with people about their vax hesitancy. Mm. You know, some people are taking the mickey, but some people are really, really worried, and just having those intense conversations about what's going on for them, what real information they need, and just helping people make that decision.
Oh, I love, strong three, a very strong three. we'll chat about vaccines and all that good stuff later on. There's, so much to it to unpack. I wish I had you on the show while the Conversion Practices Prohibition Bill was passing through Parliament, but alas, sometimes passed since then. So now that the media dust has settled, I guess, what happens next? Because I feel there are so many fantastic, important conversations that go on, and then the nature of the media cycle is that we just don't hear about them again. But obviously these issues don't magically go away.
This is absolutely true. Well, it's had the first hearing in Parliament, and you may know that we've got by far the most amount of submissions to a bill ever in our history. 106,000 people submitted. Over 3,000 people wanted to be heard. And so we are doing hearings till the end of the year.
Oof. Gosh.
And that's with four subcommittees operating. That's how many people. We're taking this quite seriously. Mm. We want to hear from everybody. So you're right, it just kind of keeps on rolling. We keep hearing, and there'll probably be another burst at the beginning of the year when it comes back to the House.
Yes, but people must know, there's so much work going on. It's such a media, just the entire thing. I love it so much. But yes, I saw on your Facebook recently, Youth MP season is approaching us, which warmed my heart to see. So why is Youth Parliament so cool, so important? And what are some recent positive instances where Youth Voice has impacted you?
Well, I've been involved in the youth sector since I was a young activist myself. And so I take this really, really seriously, because I have a saying, which is that our young people are not the leaders of tomorrow, they are the leaders we need right now. And so I'm excited to have a youth MP. I've already had videos coming in from people around the country, and before it was even advertised, I had young people writing to me asking if they could be my MP. So I'm already thinking of projects I can do with all these young people, because I can only pick one.
Yeah.
To be my MP. That's not enough.
Yeah.
I have to do something with all these incredible people.
It's a great problem to have. Oh, I love. Well, this is in the fringes. So last week I chatted with ACT MP James McDowell, and so he had a question for you, and it talks about vaccines. So yes, first part of it is talking about the move away from elimination strategy. And so I guess, yeah, what was your response to the way that was all treated start of last week?
It was a bit freaky, because the Greens don't have a direct say on what the government is doing about this. So we hear about it when everyone else does generally. And it's that thing of when that change was made last week, we only had 56% of Māori vaccinated with one dose.
Mm.
And that feels very, very low to be, you know, loosening restrictions. And I think we just went into, and as we have been, is being strength-based, saying people make good decisions when they've got good information, and just kind of really going into why people are hesitant, what's actually worrying them, and speaking and providing a place to listen.
Mm,
we just want to, want to see what's going on for people. And when there's so much misinformation around, then people find it hard to get through and see what's the actual truth and how is it relevant to them, so that trusted individuals, people they know can trust who can give them good information, is absolutely key.
Oh, we are bombarded with so much information. Having trusted people, it feels like having a sieve to which the information can run through. Yes, for sure.
Exactly.
And that's leading on to the second part of James's question, actually. He was talking about recognising that vaccination rates among Māori and Pacifica are lower than the general rate. So, yes, how do you plan on increasing vaccine rates for these people? And further, whether it's an issue of uptake or if it's an issue of access?
I think it's both of those things, but there's a key issue around leadership. Our people listen when our people are leading things. And so resourcing and supporting our Māori providers, our local Māori organisations, our iwi, whānau and hapū collectives to get on and work with their own people. But also helping support our GPs and other health professionals who Māori go to. Because if people are already connected with the health service and have trust in them, then that's the place that they need to be able to connect to. But there are many of our people who distrust the health system because Māori are routinely not looked after in that space.
Yeah.
And so they've got good reason, good historical evidence that they're not safe in that place. And so that hesitancy will only be dealt with by seeing that people they know and love have had the vaccine, they're fine. And when we look at it in a collective sense, this is not about personal rights and responsibilities. This is about actually protecting all of our people, but particularly those who cannot be vaccinated and our young people who still cannot get a vaccination but will get sick.
How would I then, build trust, especially if I'm someone who doesn't have loved ones that I can see trusting the system to? How do we, instill that trust further?
I think we have to work with the people in our own circles, because even though as MPs we have this platform and, you know, you and the media, we can send out the big messages out to people, but in the end it's going to be me talking to my cousins, my nieces and nephews who go, oh no, I'm not doing this. And it's not me as an MP, actually it's me as an auntie, it's me as a cousin saying, hey look, I've got some information, let's just talk it through, tell me what's going on for you. And I think it's going to be hundreds and thousands of those conversations that's going to make the difference in the end.
It warms my heart to hear, because a humanised, applied approach, it's what I want to see so much. The nature of this segment in The Fringes is that I now ask you to ask a question to the ACT MP, likely Mark Cameron, for next week.
Oh.
Yes. Putting on the spot here, indeed. But
yes, well, I think, especially in terms, because I know that Mark is a farmer and he's very connected with rural communities, that perhaps how does he see that rural communities can be better represented in the work that we do in the house?
Amazing. Yes, I'll be asking him that next week. Thank you so much. Gosh. And thank you, Dr. Elizabeth Kerekere from the Greens, for joining me this morning. Such a pleasure to have you on. And I hope that I'm chatting to you again sometime soon.
Oh, that would be lovely. You have a great day.
You too.